Steven, that was cool. Lou, you are 20 minutes away from Date City. That's excellent. Well, welcome, guys. And I'm assuming and I'm hoping that you guys can see my screen. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. I thought today what I would do is share what has happened with us this year in particular. And I say this year in particular because of the fact that we had the pandemic. And it was very interesting to see. We've been using this strategy for a while now, but we wanted to see whether it would hold up during the pandemic. I had a mentor that once told me, you're not a complete trader or investor until you've gone through all the cycles in the market. And so whenever we test a new strategy, one of the things we want to see is how they perform in bull market, sideways market, as well as bear market. Now, we've been using this since approximately 2017, 2018. And, those years were pretty much bull markets. When 2020 came around, obviously, we all know we went into one of the worst bear markets, the fastest bear market we've seen. And, we wanted to see how would this hold up. And I'm very, very excited and happy to say now we can unveil this, because that's one of the things I didn't want to do was unveil a strategy where it hasn't gone through different types of market cycles. Needless to say, this year alone, we have traded a lot of stocks that we bought expecting them to make all-time highs, and they did. Now, if anybody goes online, try to find, how to find stocks that are going to make all-time highs. I can promise you one thing, you will not find anything online, okay? Ask me how I know this, because I searched. Been searching for about 3 years now. Nothing online that suggests. Everything is about what to do after the stock is at all-time highs. But my question was always, well, how do we find the stocks before they become all-time highs, get into those stocks, and have a certainty that these stocks will actually make it to all-time highs? And that's kind of like what we did. And so we'll be talking about that today, as well as some other stuff. But anyways, today's topic, again, like I said, how we invested early. The keyword is early, because it's not after. Well, that's one of the things about our company. Right side trading is about getting in on the right side of the market ahead of time, not in hindsight. So how did we get into over 68 stocks this year? Ladies and gentlemen, we are not even done with the year yet. Truth be told, we actually have about 70, but when I was putting this presentation together, we had about 68 stocks that had made all-time highs from the time that we bought them. And yes, we actually bought these stocks. And so we got into them early. And like I said, they went into all-time highs. We bought some before the pandemic, after the pandemic, and during the pandemic. And I'll show you just a few examples because we don't have enough time to go through it all. But before I do all this, quick disclaimer, like always, we are not a financial advisory company. We're not licensed to give financial advice or anything like that. So please keep in mind that everything I'm sharing here today is from my own opinion, what has worked for me, okay? And hopefully it will be something that can work for you too, and you'll be able to use that. But at the end of the day, this is just what we have done, and everybody needs to make their own assessment before they do anything. A little bit about our company, Right Side Trading. We consider ourselves a technical strategy research firm. That's what we do. I have a background in accounting. I also have a background in finance. I used to do a lot of financial analysis for mergers and acquisition companies. And so you can almost say I was a forensic accountant. We could dig into the numbers and see what was going on behind the scenes that even a lot of the owners of the company did not know. And in some cases, we were able to even find things that some accountants that worked for these companies did not even see. Okay? And part of that was because they focused more on the accounting aspect of it, while we combined the accounting and the finance aspect of it. And so in 2011, we decided to start applying this to the stock market and see how we can use this to analyze companies. So we did a lot of fundamental analysis initially. And one of the biggest issues or things that I discovered while I was doing that was I realized that we found some great companies from a fundamental financial analysis standpoint of view, but we were baffled that the stock were not moving like we expected it to move. We saw some undervalued companies thinking that they would do well and go higher, but they just did not. Okay. Not all of them, but there were some. And that was enough to kind of raise the question like, why? Or even in the good companies, we see some, but the problem was we could not tell when the movement was going to start taking place. And needless to say, that's when I started researching technical analysis. That was 8 years ago. Once I started doing that, I fell in love with technical analysis to the point now it's almost reverse now. We do more technical analysis and then we'll do do fundamentals if we have to. The cool thing is that because of the experience we had from fundamentals, we started noticing patterns of what good solid companies look like and what they will look like on the technical side of it. And so we can almost be rest assured that if we see the patterns that we're looking for, chances are very high that these companies fundamentally are good companies as well. So what we do is we specialize on finding sound companies. We want to make sure that we can get them at attractive prices. And attractive prices doesn't necessarily mean the absolute bottom. I don't want anybody to think, oh, attractive price is the absolute bottom, but low enough where we feel like we see that we can get some good discounts on these stocks. We want to make sure that the risks are minimized and that it has a really nice potential for capital appreciation. And so we focus primarily on stocks more than anything else. We'll do some ETFs. We have a whole course on IPOs as well. We love dividend stocks. We trade around earnings, market cycles, stock splits, and et cetera. The areas that we don't really do too much in is options, nor do we do too much in penny stocks. So unfortunately, you will not be hearing me mention any of those things today. So we stay away from options. We try to stay away from penny stocks for so many reasons that I cannot get into it today. But if you get to know us, you'll find out our reason is why. All right. So finding winners early, how we were able to do this. I need to share with you what, when I was doing my research and, you know, again, we had a fundamental analysis side, but when I started searching for the technical side, I came across a guy by this name, Jim Simmons. Does anybody know who this guy is? Anybody ever heard of Jim Simmons? I always find it interesting that a lot of people have not heard of Jim Simmons. Anybody? No? Okay. All right. So a few people have heard about him and some people have not heard about him. Well, I would highly encourage you guys to learn about him. Not that he can really do too much for you, but what he did for us, exactly, Neil, he's the Renaissance man, David, that's correct. He is, Philip, you're absolutely correct. He is the most profitable hedge fund manager that did what is called a quant analysis, quantitative analysis, Simon. And what he did was, you know, it was the first time I actually heard about quantitative analysis, because before I thought there was only two ways to analyze the market, which was, you know, fundamental analysis and technical analysis. And then I came upon this guy and I heard that he does what is called quantitative analysis. And so that piqued my interest. I said, well, let me look into this. What is this whole quantitative analysis all about? And like some of you guys who already know him, you know, he did phenomenally well. I mean, phenomenally well. Very interesting. He started from a mathematical, he was a math scientist, and he started with fundamental analysis only to develop a model that just focused on finding patterns. Okay. And one of the quotes that he had is what you see down here, where he said, don't get caught up into intuition, follow a proven model. That really made me see, and it's like, wow, this guy, I mean, the model that he created, he didn't hire Wall Street guys, he didn't hire MBA people. The people he hired were scientists, physicists, people that were mathematicians. You know, he wanted people that were very, very objective when it came to analyzing data. That's all he cared about was the data. And the whole thing he wanted to see was the patterns. And so in the models they created a model where they could find patterns that other people could not find. I mean, and that's what his computer did. And so because of that, he was able to do huge, multi-billionaire. Needless to say, I was really impressed. And, you know, I started studying him more. But one of the things, you know, even though I never got to meet him, he doesn't even know I exist, but he was to me one of the guys I looked up to in the industry. And he really does interviews. I think now he started doing some interviews now. But back then when he started, he wasn't doing any interviews. But one of the things that he said that caught my attention was he said, the stock market is not random, which is very interesting because I always thought it was random. You hear so many people tell you that the stock market is random. You hear so many people tell you it's gambling. But he said, no, he says patterns of price movement are not random. Okay. They are close enough to random, but they're not random. That iota of just thinking that way and hearing from a guy that has been successful as he is, to hear him say that, I was like, wow, okay. So if it's not random, then it's just a matter of going out there and finding certain patterns. Okay. And that's what they did. They spent their time just focusing on historical data, looking for patterns that exist everywhere. And so I was so blown away by that. I started doing more research, and it's very interesting how patterns patterns are like literally staring us in the face, but sometimes we don't even realize those patterns are right there. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not sure how many people are from outside of the United States or Canada, but at least I can say Australia, Canada, United States. You guys should be able to answer this question. How many corners does a stop sign have? Okay, Pete, thank you so much for that answer. Does anybody know how many stuff that, and you can't cheat, guys. Don't go on YouTube and Google and try to start doing some research and all that stuff, okay? And be honest, how many corners does a stop sign have? And then the second question would be, what color is a stop sign? And very good. A lot of people, I'm actually surprised. This is one of the few groups that I've ever seen actually get the answer right, all right? And the answer is 8. It's amazing. I mean, we see stop signs everywhere, but for some reason, it's right there, but people think it's 6, but it's actually 8. So we have 8 sides, right? And it's an octagon. Thank you very much. And the color is, like you guys said, everybody got this one right, red and white. Very good. Excellent. Okay. So now the next question, how many corners does a yield sign have? Wow. Okay. Everybody got that. Now, what is the color of a yield sign? A yield sign is triangle. That's correct. So everybody's saying yellow and black. Eric said red and white. Everybody else is saying yellow and black. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the yield sign is actually red and white. The yield sign has not been yellow and black since 1972. So if you were born after 1972, you have no excuse to miss this one. And remind me, if I ever meet you guys in person, you know, remind me to get your keys from your cars. For all of you guys who said yellow and black, give me your keys, because I'm not letting you guys drive. Because in over 40 years, the yield sign has been red and white. And you guys still think it's black and yellow, right? I'm joking, by the way. But yeah, seriously, I mean, when I see you guys, if you're one of those that answered yellow and black, just go ahead and turn over the keys. Say, hey, Wally, here's the keys, you drive, okay? Because obviously, I completely missed this one. But that's the cool thing about patterns, is what's right there, it hasn't changed since 1972. I'll give people who were driving before 1972, I'll give them a little bit of slack, because back in those days, it was black and yellow. But since 1972, it changed. And some people still, you know, argue with me. Oh, no. I challenge anybody living in Canada, United States, and Australia, at least those three countries, okay? I challenge you to go out on the road today and just look at the first yield sign you see. And you'll find that it's red and black, red and white, okay? So A1, again, I would excuse you for that, because you started driving way before the time change. But what's the whole point of this exercise? The whole point of this exercise is that the patterns exist. And that's what I saw Jim Simons realize. It's like, wait a second, patterns exist. It's just that we are not aware of the patterns that exist out there. And that literally took me to a whole different level and literally changed the course of how I started trading and investing from that point on, okay? And so one of the things, again, I always ask myself is, what are the patterns I need to see for XYZ? It's out there, it's just maybe I haven't figured out how to see it. And that's pretty much what I did. So quantitative analysis, for those of you guys who are wondering, what is quantitative analysis? It's very simple. It's just using mathematical and statistical modeling to determine the best assets to invest in, and the keyword, the best time to do so. It was the same challenge that fundamental analysts have. Like, they'll find good companies, but the timing was always off. Now, with technical analysis, which is great, I love technical analysis. I swear by technical analysis. One of the things with technical analysis is that the timing can be fine, but you don't know if you are dealing with a good company or not. And so I see a lot of people that will see a stock run, they'll try to chase it, and then, you know, it just so happens that it goes against you after that happens, right? So quantitative analysis is one of the things I started focusing on. I started studying that a little bit more. And in the process of doing that, we were able to use that to help us identify certain stocks that were ready to go to all-time high, okay? But the key was to find them before they go to all-time highs. And that is what we call PATH, the right side PATH, P-A-T-H. It stands for pre-all-time high. So one of the things that we do, one of the things I help with all our coaching students is to learn to identify, you know, the stocks that are pre-all-time highs. Now, if you search online, you would never find anything called pre-all-time highs, okay? So you're probably hearing this for the very first time from this webinar here. But at the end of the day, it's learning to identify stocks that are at pre-all-time high. Pavia, so you can tell I'm a soccer fan, right? Excellent. And yeah, you must be on top of trading, just like the picture like that. Absolutely. Absolutely. 2020 was one of our best years, without a question, okay? And unfortunately, I hope that people can learn to take advantage. In 2008, I lost everything. Came 2020, I said, I don't want what happened to me in 2008 to happen again. And so when it happened in 2020, I was very happy and pleased and thankful to God that I was able to do what we were able to do this year, okay? So in our quantitative quantitative analysis, what we did was, after we've discovered, okay, here are the different models that we want to follow, there are seven things that we want to pay attention to, okay? And the data that we get from the market, we use it to help us identify, one, healthy companies. I need to know healthy companies. Two, are we dealing with a stock that is at an attractive price? How do we mitigate our risk? The other thing is, I want to know, what is the profit potential on this stock? We wanted to know, one of the things I tell people is that you have to know how much profit you will make before you even enter the trade. And I'm not just talking about a 3-to-1 risk reward ratio. That's not what I'm talking about, even though that is fine. But what I'm saying is, you should be able to see a stock, know how long you're going to stay in the trade, and the potential profit that you'll make when this happens. And then model your whole program or your strategy around making sure that you do a good enough job to hit that mark every single time. Okay. The other thing we wanted to know was, is the institution of buying? Now, we do not use volume. I know that sounds crazy. I was contemplating whether I should even mention that, because some people have a hiccup when they hear, oh no, what? Volume is everything. I used to think that too, until we discovered another way of seeing when institutions are really buying or not. And so ever since then, we stopped using volume. We don't use volume in any of our analysis. So in our model that we have, we don't analyze volume at all. But I can assure you, every single stock that we get into, if they meet the criteria, they have a very, very high chance of doing what we needed to do. The other thing we want to see is a discounted rate. It's almost a kind of like the attractive price, but we just want to see how much is the price discounted before we get in. And the last but not least is the stock ready to start trending? We don't want to get into stocks that are going to go sideways for like another week, 2 weeks, 2 months or something like that. We want stocks that are already showing signs, a pattern that they already heading higher. And that's what we focus. So what we did was, then we use mathematical and statistical modeling to use, and we use algorithms to kind of help us to identify the stocks that has that. I would say not all of them, I wouldn't say 100%, but the cool thing is, when a stock that shows us that model and meets our model, when it comes up on our screen and we start trading it, if something happens along the way where it's deviating from that, we're able to see that too as quickly as possible so we can get out of that. And that was the coolest thing. That literally changed everything we did. We stopped being day traders because of that, because we could find stocks that we could get into and just let it ride. Okay. So if you ever heard people say, let your profits run, cut your losers short, well, this is one of the things our model has been able to do. And so now we are what we call a weekend trader. We put on trades on the weekend, okay, because we've done a really, really good job identifying stocks that do well. And then we just monitor it literally every weekend, every Saturday. That's what we do. If anybody knows us, you hear me say, I don't want to hear anything about the news. I don't want to know what's going on. Just show me the model. Doesn't meet our criteria. That's it. Okay. And we do that every Saturday just to make sure. It's almost like being a real estate owner, right? Or a real estate investor. You got your properties. You got to go out there and do walks around your property. Well, that's what we do. We inspect our positions every single week. Okay. So that means the positions that we put on are more positions that are swing trade. We don't do day trading, like I said. Could you use this for day trading? Yes, you could, but we encourage more swing trading. Okay. Our positions are typically 20 to 60 trading days, okay, which is about 3 months. Get into a trade 3 months later, max. Well, give and take. We've seen some that went to 4 months, but give or take, within 20 to 60 trading days, you'll see that these stocks have done what we need them to do. Okay. All right. So pre-all-time highs. Here is a list of the ones that we've traded this year. Okay. So you can see, and I put this up there. You can go back. You'll see all of these stocks made all-time highs. The key is, we got into these stocks before they got into the all-time highs. And so let me show you a few examples. I'm not going to show you everything out here, but I'll show you a few examples. And then I'll show you the model that we use, the algorithms and the software that we use to help us do this. Okay. Here is a stock, Restoration Hardware. The model that we have first gave us a buy signal that this was a pre all-time high. Remember, path is what we're going to be focused on. Pre all-time highs, okay? We want to focus on stocks that are pre all-time highs. So it first gave us that signal somewhere around here, which is around, you know, close to one, it was 174 something when it gave us that signal saying, hey, this stock is ready to do something, okay? Now, I don't know how many of you know, but right around this time was during the heat of the pandemic. I mean, this was when people were still struggling to figure out whether or not the market is recovering. And I remember in March of 2020, March 23rd, March 27th, that weekend, when I was addressing our subscribers, I said, look, guys, the model is saying that we've hit bottom. It's time to start buying. And the whole time from March, April, we started buying in earnest in April. April 6th, we started buying big time. We bought some more in May. And we were telling people, I said, man, this market is going to all-time highs. People were having a hard time believing it. And when I say people, not our subscribers, but more so, you know, people out there, because you would see the news every day about how this is bad and unemployment rates are down and it's the worst that we've ever seen. Pandemic is worse, and death toll is climbing and everything. And I was like, wow, wait a second. The model is showing that we're ready to make all-time highs. We're going, these are stocks, the same patterns that show that they're going to all-time highs, okay? And Restoration Hardware was one of those stocks, in addition to many stocks. We had Zoom, we had PayPal, Square, Apple, Tesla, I mean, all kinds of stocks that we were in during that time. But the cool thing was, while everybody was either trying to short the market, sitting on the sideline because they weren't sure, trying to figure out what was going on, we were like just buying. We were just buying, okay? And you can see here, this is a monthly chart, by the way, within 2 months, which is about 40 trading days, we reach all-time highs. Now, the cool thing about this is, just because it reaches all-time high doesn't mean it's going to stop, which is another mistake that we found a lot of people do is they see or hear about a stock that reaches all-time high, and what's the first thing they want to start doing? They want to start shorting the stock, okay? Well, in the way we programmed the model, one of the things we want to say, look, we understand that there might be volatility because there's going to be some profit taking. You have the super bearish people that come out and want to start shorting. But the question is it really dropping? Are institutions really selling? Or is it just going through that volatility and it's going to continue going higher? And how do we make sure that we not just, capture profits up here, but take part in the stocks that actually continue going higher than that, okay? And so here is the software that we use. Let me show you the software. Here's the software that we use. Here is Restoration Hardware. There's a lot that goes into this that I have to explain. I won't be able to do everything on this call, but you'll see right here, I want to show you guys something. Let me see if I can zoom in. First and foremost is this thing that we call a hard line. Okay? If I click on this, what this does, it is allows us to tell when a stock is ready to start trending again. Okay, and one of the things we look for is for stocks that have gone below this hard line and then come back inside the hard line. That's one of our first clues that, wait a second, this is a stock that is ready to go higher. And then we're able to project how high it's going to go based on this top line right here. So even though when we saw this back in May and it was telling us, look, you need to start getting into the stock, the all-time high was actually right here. And this is one of the reasons why we knew we could continue staying in going higher. But one of the cool things about this software and what we did was we wanted it to take not just the models that we had, but also taking into account technical analysis. And what we wanted to do was take into account when we should be buying, when should we be selling, should we just place a stop or should we do nothing? Because this is key. When a stock is rallying, one of the biggest questions people have is, wait a second, I've made money, should I sell? I'm at all-time high, should I sell? Should I keep it? What if I sell and the stock keeps on going higher? What if I don't sell and the stock goes against me? I mean, this is a question that plagues so many traders and investors out there. And one of the things that we found after seeing what Jim Simon said is like patterns exist. And so technical analysis will let us know, should we still be holding onto it? Should we not? Should we be cautious and place and stop? And so we have one trade action each and every day or each and every week or each and every month that we just want to pay attention to and just do what it does. So if you notice, let me zoom in over here for a second. And if I come over here, if you look at the trade action, let me show you, this is the trade action on this side right here. I want you guys to pay attention. Hopefully you guys can see this. I know it's in small fonts, but hopefully you guys can see this. Right there, when this started heading up, this was the end of April, beginning of May. You can see what the trade action said. The condition above that says strong, which means that this is a market that is ready to go higher. And the trade action then was saying it was a buy. Buy cover meaning that if you were short in the stock, you need to cover your shorts. You do not want, this is not about even placing stops. Get out. That's what it's telling you. But it's also saying that you should buy. So if you were going long, you should be buying. If you were short in, you need to start covering your short. That's what you see where it says a trade action. But notice how it's just one thing. Just trade action for that month was to buy or cover your shorts. That's all. Okay. And what we see here is once it gave us that, the other thing is you notice how we have a green section over here, red section here, green section here, red section here. This kind of tells us what is really going on. Are we bullish? Are we bearish, so to speak? So you can see when we had the pandemic, this was the pandemic drop that took place. And then all of a sudden we see that this is now turning green. Once this turns green, I said, wait a second, this is a stock that is now getting ready to trend higher. But not just that it's trending higher, but it's also a very good time to start buying. Now, mind you, this was again when everybody was still not sure whether or not this was going to go all-time high. They were still skeptical. A lot of people were skeptical about the market. A lot of people. But right there, there, a Toadish buy cover. So you buy there, and one of the things, like I said, in the model is we wanted to make sure that we're getting it at a low enough price. We don't want it to be too risky, okay? So we're not trying to chase stocks. And then what you'll see is the next month, it says you can still buy. But then after that, notice what happened here. At the end of June, beginning of July, notice what happened to the trade action. It says wait or hold. So what is that telling us? Now it's telling us, look, it's too late to try to jump into this. You're not getting an attractive price anymore. You're not getting a discount anymore. Your risk is now heightened at this point. And that's why it's saying, look, but it's also not saying sell. So you know how so many people would have been trying to sell because of REIT all-time high? Notice what it is. It's just wait or hold. That means if you already own the stock, just hold on to the positions. Don't do anything. Don't touch it. Don't sell. I mean, by all means, definitely no selling, because you can see the trade action is not saying that we should sell anything. But at the same time, it's saying wait in the event that now that it hits all-time high, what typically happens is the media likes to cover the stocks that have either hit all-time highs, making new all-time highs, have moved big, right? And that's when we hear about stocks, because when they were down here, they weren't really covering these stocks. Now that they're all-time highs and they've made significant moves, that's when a pump comes up on the media, and the media loves to talk about it. And once the media starts talking about it, a lot of YouTubers will pick up on that, and then it becomes a trending stock and everybody wants to jump into it at that point in time. But what we wanted to do is, like, we don't want to do what the masses are doing. We want to find the pre-all-time highs before they get to all-time highs when everybody wants to start jumping into it. And so it gives us the ability to get in when it's still safe enough, when the risk is mitigated. But by the time it gets to a point where, like, now you're taking on too much risk, it lets you know just wait and hold. The next thing I hear people say, well, where do you place your stop? And I say, look, if the model doesn't say place your stop, you don't even need to place your stop. You just follow what the model says, okay? The next month, it says wait and hold. The next month, it says wait and hold. By this time, so many people are blown. It's like, wow, I wish I had held on to this. And this is where we say they coulda, shoulda, woulda. I wish I should have. I could have held on to this. And I've heard people say, oh, I sold it only to find that it kept on going higher. And part of that is because, again, there are patterns, there are data, technical data that tells you what's going on that people are not aware of. Just like the stop signs have been there all these times. The yield sign has been there all this time, but people were not paying attention to these things. Right? Then we had our first red candle. And here's where it becomes very interesting, because at the first sight of any type of drop, people start panicking. They want to sell everything. And one of the things we've encouraged all our subscribers to do is, like, follow what the pattern says. The model was created to take away emotions and see if there is a real distribution taking place or it's just a profit taking. Most people have no idea how to tell the difference. And so if it's real distribution taking place, it will let us know and say, look, place your stop. This looks more than just, you know, profit taking at this point in time. There's a lot of, you know, institutions beginning to sell for whatever reason. They'll let us know. Otherwise, it would just tell you, like, what it said, which was, look, the market condition is weak. However, wait and see. And what happens, here we are this month, and guess what? It's still saying wait and see. So some people might say, well, but Wally, I could have got in over here, and I could have got in over there, and I could have got in over here. Yes, you could. But again, the point is your risk is now heightened, okay? And so our goal is to try to find those pre-all-time highs and then sit back. Like I said, every weekend, that's all we do. We just check it every weekend, see what it tells us to do. That's all we need to do, okay? And so this would be great for anybody who's tired of day trading, who doesn't want to sit in front of the screen, especially for people who still have a job, who's still working, okay? I mean, this is what I do full time. Unless I'm teaching a class, I'm literally just sitting at home with my wife. We would run some errands, take the kids to school, and that's it. But I don't manage my positions every single day anymore. It's literally a weekend to weekend basis, okay? So as of today, that's what it's saying. Look, if you held on to it, you'll be the person that's still holding on to the stock simply because the technical analysis, the quantitative analysis doesn't tell us to sell. Fundamental analysis doesn't even tell you to sell. So if fundamental is not telling us to sell, technical analysis is not telling us to sell, quantitative analysis is not telling us to sell, why would we sell? The only reason why we'll sell is because we're not sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully going forward using this now, you won't have to guess. That's one of the things I always tell our subscribers. So we don't guess, we don't hope, we don't wish. It's about seeing what's there, data. Okay. So one person said, man, you like a scientist. And I was like, well, if that's what it is, then that's what it is. Okay. We try to be objective, no subjectivity. I don't want emotions involved. What is the data telling us? That makes sense. Okay. Here's another example, Dunkin' Donuts. It's called Dunkin' Brands. I love this story because, again, when we saw this ready to go higher, you can see where it gave us a signal saying that it was a pre-all-time high buy, somewhere around there. We started buying this. I used to love this one because at the time, I would go around. I like drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee. We drink that every single morning, even till today. But it was cool now because now we own shares in Dunkin' Donuts. And that's what we do. We trade shares. Now, because you do options, as you can. But again, that's for a totally different time and place. place. Our thing is, because we're so sure about stocks that are going to do well, why take the additional risk, okay? So we own shares in Dunkin' Donuts. We own shares in Starbucks. We own shares in McDonald's, which all did really well. Starbucks hasn't hit its all-time highs, but it's getting really, really close. If you go look at the shares of Starbucks, you'll see it's very close there. But we bought these companies and pretty excited about it because every day we'll go over there, I would just let people get in front of me, you know, during the line. One of the things we noticed was during the pandemic, Dunkin' Donuts did not shut down. I mean, when they literally had curfews for businesses to shut down, Dunkin' Donuts was one of those essential companies that couldn't, that did not shut down. And even though they wouldn't allow people into the lobby and into the building, you would see lines. I mean, the lines were ridiculously long during that whole pandemic shutdown. And I looked at that and I remembered something that Peter Lynch said. If anybody knows who Peter Lynch is, he said, even back in his day, he said he used to go to Dunkin' Donuts. And when he would go to Dunkin' Donuts, he would see long lines. And he's like, it was a no-brainer. If they have that big of a line buying coffee and donuts at Dunkin' Donuts, why would you not invest in them? Okay. And so that's kind of like what we saw happening. I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like what Peter Lynch said. So we go in there, we type it into the software to see what the model said. And let me show you what the software said then. Phil says, so you develop a rule-based objective so that where's this great what I've been doing in my trading. Not an impossible way for me to profit. Subjectivity is definitely a killer. Okay. How long have we been using the system? We've been using it for 2 years now. Well, about a year and a half. But we already developed the concept in 2017. Okay. Then we perfected it by 2018. So since 2018, about 2 years now. 2 years now we've been using that. Let me show you Dunkin' Donuts. This is the chart of Dunkin' Donuts again. One of the things, again, we want to make sure, hey, is this a healthy stock? So one of the first things we do is put on our HARP line. And that's what this tells us. So, okay, cool. So we can see right here where it went down. So Dunkin' Donuts, actually, let me zoom in just a little bit so you guys can see this. All right. So Dunkin' Donuts met the criteria that we're looking for. So it went below this. Okay. We can see that all this section was red. So this was during the pandemic. We don't want to be buying during that time. Right. And then we wait for it to come back. And then it started doing this. Oh, wow. You know, Dunkin' Donuts is beginning to do something. And then right around here was when we got the buy signal say, hey, you know, it's time to buy. The conditions are strong and it's time to buy. Now, one of the things we always try to do is project how much profit can we make off of this. Now, for us personally, we want to make sure that we can make at least 15% from the time we get into the time it reaches all-time high, minimum. I mean, we've seen some that have done way better than that, but the minimum is 15% for us, okay? And for so many reasons where once you join our, you know, our community, I'll explain that in more detail so you can understand why. But anyway, so that's when Dunkin' Donuts gave us the buy signal. And then, you know, just kept on going higher. And every day we'll drop off the kids. My wife and I will drop off the kids at school. And next thing we did, we went to Dunkin' Donuts. I always ordered double shot of espresso, one cream, one sugar. My wife would always get a small hot coffee with pumpkin swirl in it, one cream, one sugar, you know, and that's just what we did. It got to a point where the people at Dunkin' Donuts knew exactly who we were. We could be going through a drive-thru inside the building. They knew who we were. They knew exactly what we wanted, you know. But it was cool because it's like, wait a second, we own shares. This is our company. We own shares in it. So we had no problems buying from Dunkin' Donuts. And it was just so great, okay? It was just really, really great, okay? Now, we might have a drawdown. I think the worst that I've seen was about a 20% drawdown. But in all honesty, it was also because we didn't follow the rules according into what the software was saying. We were trying to apply a different strategy, which was seasonality. We knew about a stock that had a seasonality. And then we thought, okay, yes, if we get into this, then, you know, it'll catch up and, you know, the quantitative analysis will tell us all this stuff later on down the road, blah, 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 blah. But eventually worked out, but during that process, it went down as much as 20%. Okay? But the biggest loss so far, without a question, and anybody who knows me, they hear me talk about that. Intel, we lost 17% is a confirmed realized loss where we had to close it out because of that earnings. We lost 17%. And so do we do only monthly charts? No. We don't just do monthly charts. We do monthly, daily, and weekly, or weekly, daily, weekly, monthly. Okay. But I show you the monthly because that's where it begins. You got to understand what's the big picture. Does that make sense, Bawant? We want to make sure that we are seeing the big picture because once you identify a stock like this, right? When we first identified this, if you had seen that too, now you have so many choices. You could go find the setups on the daily chart. You can, you know, if you want to find the setups on the weekly chart, start, you could do that. Now, for us, we found that, hey, look, once we know where it's going, we know that it's going to all-time highs, right? That's where we know it's going. We can always see this is the projected. And this is why I said part of the quantitative analysis that we do is to kind of give an idea of where it's going to go. So that's what the top of this line is. So we know that it's going to the top of that line. That's what we expect it to do, okay? But once we find that, then, you know, there's going to be some pullbacks, okay? We do the buy signals on daily and weekly charts, daily and weekly charts, okay? So once we see a stock here, then we go to the daily chart or the weekly chart using the same model, okay? And then we just say, you know, so if you go over here, right here, you can pick daily. We have a 3 months daily chart, a 1 year daily chart, or the weekly chart. You click on any one of those, and then it will give you your buy signal. So when we see one that says, hey, it's a buy cover, as long as it's not red or saying short, okay, then we know that we can check every week until it reaches its destination. Does that make sense? We know we can go in. So to answer your question, you know, if I see one right now, we have one, Yum Brands. Yum Brands just gave us a signal this month, okay? We're projecting that it's going to go to all-time highs and even higher. So that means if we see a signal on the daily chart this today, hey, you can buy. If you don't see the signal today on the daily, that's fine. Go to the weekly chart, whichever time frame, weekly or daily chart. But we know between now and the next 60 trading days, there's going to be so many opportunities to trade. And so this is where we only want to focus on the ones that we know are pre-all-time high. They're on the right side path. And then just look for opportunities on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. We do week-to-week. That's what we feel comfortable with because we don't have to sit in front of the computers every day. But there's nothing that says you cannot look at the daily chart and see where are the buy signals on there too as well. Okay. It's just that you do a little bit more work. So obviously, if you're doing a daily chart, you have to get in faster, get in out. Okay. But with the weekly, I like the weekly better because once we buy, chances are we can sit back for weeks to come without having to do anything to that stock, right? And just let it keep on doing it. I'm telling you, again, 68 different stocks during the whole pandemic. I mean, you got to understand, people were panicking left and right. And we were just in certain stocks that would just keep on doing their thing. And we just check it once a week. Okay. So, but thank you guys so much for those questions. Let's see if we can move on because I know I'm running out of time. I always run out of time when you have good stuff to talk about. So let me just do this. Let's go back here. So this is Dunkin' Donuts. This is Moderna. Most of you guys already know. We just recently got into this, not necessarily when they came out with the results of the COVID trial test and all that kind of stuff. But prior to that, you'll see right here was when it gave us the buy signal. Okay. And if we go here to the chart, you'll see, let me zoom in right here. This is when it first gave us the buy signal was back in September, right? And then it gave us even more, you know, buy signals saying they cover your shorts, buy more and stuff like that. So this is one of the things that you'll see. So here's a great example of where we bought here, okay? And then the next month, next week, this is a weekly chart, by the way. Next week, it told us to buy some more. The week after that, it told us to buy some more. The week after that, it told us to buy some more. And then notice what happened here. It dropped, but rather than saying sell, it says, wait, don't buy anything else. The condition is still strong, but something is going on. It's not going right. But the cool thing was it didn't sell us. It did not tell us to sell. It just said, wait, okay? And then right here, notice what it says. They look, okay, it's not, things are not, you know, the next week. And again, this is a week-to-week basis. So by the next week, what it then said was, wait a second, it seems like you might have to place some stops, okay? You might want to start placing some stops in here. And that's kind of like what this is telling us here. And so the next week, we didn't get stopped out because once it tells you to place your stop, you place a stop at the low of that candle. The next week, we didn't get stopped out. And then the week after that, it told us, hey, wait a second, buying is taking place again. But notice how this is where people would have sold. They would have sold over here. They probably would have sold over here. And worse yet, people would have probably tried to start shorting this is what they would have been doing. But if you notice what the software said, don't short, just wait and hold. Over here, if you were shorting, get out of your shorts. That's what the software was telling us here. It said, get out of your shorts. So this is where I kind of tell people, it's like, look, once you understand and you know how we see things and how this model looks at information, you start realizing, wait a second, you were not even supposed to short. Some people say, well, but there was a short an opportunity there. Okay. Yes, there is, but why take that risk? Remember, one of the things we factored in this model was to make sure that we minimize risk. And so when we're looking at this, we're saying, no, the stock is doing pretty well, but something seems to be wrong. And then the next week, it's like, just as safety precaution, why don't we go ahead and place a stop on here? And if you did that, what it did not say see was sell, and nor did it say short the stock. And so this is where I would get on our subscribers. It's like, why did you short the stock? Did it tell you to short? And I was like, you know what? You're right. I felt it was going to do it. And I said, now this is where you become, you know, subjective. Everything is objective here. You're not following the data. You got to follow the data. Okay. So how would you put the stops? You just go into your thinkorswim. So in a day like this, like a week like this, because this is a week by week, Elizabeth, at the end of this week, you would have seen this and say, oh, wow, it tells us to place a stop. And remember, we do this every weekend. So I would have seen this on Saturday and said, oh, wow, now it's telling me to go place a stop. So I would literally go in there. I'll go into thinkorswim because we use thinkorswim as well. We'll go into thinkorswim and say, where is the low for that week, for that candle? Where's the low of that candle? The low of that candle was $65.49. We can see that when we go to the low up here, right? So we can see that. So $65.49. And so we literally on Saturday go in and place a stop order at $65.49. We usually go 5 cents below the low. So really it would be $65.44 is where we would place our stop, and that's it. Okay. And then we'll just wait and see what happens. Because now the software using the algorithms is saying something is not right. In this case, we did not get stopped out, didn't get stopped out. We were able to stay in the trade. And this literally, ladies and gentlemen, is how we've been able to stay in trades that has done really well. One of the reasons why we lost money on Intel, which is the biggest one we have, was it was an earnings that gapped down against us. So there was nothing we could do. Okay. It was an earnings. So one of the things we try to tell people is, look, you know, in some cases, if you don't feel comfortable holding a stock through earnings, sell it before earnings. Okay. So we use day, we don't use extended, and we use good to cancel. Absolutely. We use good to cancel. But here's the thing. By the next week, if it doesn't tell us to place a stop, let's say like right here, when it says buy cover, we take off our stops at that point. Okay. We take off the stops. So over here, we'll have a stop in place. This week, would have had another stop in place. It would have been adjusted, right? And then on this week, we would have taken our stops off completely. And right now, notice what it's saying, hold and wait. Now, a lot of people want to start jumping into Moderna because they're doing pretty well now. But the idea is, guys, you know, we got into this stock way before all this took place. And that's the key. Now, it's already hit all-time highs, okay? But we bought this with the understanding that this was another stock that was showing us that it was getting ready to make all-time highs. Does that make sense? All right. So I am really, really running out of time. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have to push forward. Hopefully you guys get the concept. And again, how to use the software. We have a whole webinar series that we do. When I tell you, like, I'll offer later on today, I'll explain that. This is another stock that we did, BioLife Science, BioLife Solutions. Same thing. I'm just going to fast forward. Tesla. Back in December 2019, we were telling people to buy Tesla for the same reason. Now, I'll be completely honest. We did not expect Tesla to do as well as it did right here. All we expected it to do was take out the high there at the very minimum. Well, we figured it would go a little bit higher. We did that. Tesla told us to get back out. Next thing we know, it told us to get back in right here with the anticipation that it's going to make a new all-time high. And what ended up happening is it went up that way. $97 per month, Elizabeth. $97 a month is what we're offering, okay? So the other thing too, I'm wrapping this up now. The other thing too is that every week, I have a report that I have every week. And, you know, once you join us today, what you'll also get is this report. So this is where we have our own list of pre-all-time highs. I don't know anybody that offers a pre-all-time high list out there, okay? It's almost kind of like IBD, but for us, it's more pre-all-time highs, okay? And I'm not sure what you mean by that, Jackie's US or Canada. You talking about the dollar amount or the stocks? And we do have some Canadian stocks in there too as well, all right? But most of our Canadian students usually prefer to trade United States stocks, okay? This is literally the list that we came up with last week. So every week, once you join us, you would, US dollars. Thank you for asking that. Every week you'll get this list. So these are the lists that we are working on. Literally, I mean, this is 16 stocks last week. Yesterday, when we were writing a report, there was another additional 7 stocks that has now met. So in addition to the 16 from last week, we have 7 from this week. And this is where, look, if you're looking for stocks to trade on a weekly basis, daily basis, you can just go in these because these are already being identified as stocks that can make all-time highs within the next 20 to 60 trading days. Trade those, right? And just use the software to find the buy signal on the daily chart. Use it to find a buy signal on the weekly chart. And then once you come in, again, we'll have webinars every Monday night where I go into how to use it, how to understand the process and all that kind of stuff. But it is the way that we were able to use this. This is the way we were able to do over 68 stocks this year. Yum Brands, I told you guys about this. This is the buy signal. So most people are looking at this and it's like, this is all-time high. So it hasn't reached that all-time high yet. But we are buying Yum Brands right now with the anticipation that it's going to reach all-time high. Same same thing as Charles Schwab as well. Okay. If anybody knows when the market crashed and everybody's like, oh, let's go buy airline stocks because they're at the bottom, how many people fell for that, right? And we were looking at this and it's like, no, nobody should be buying airline stocks right now. Nobody. Because the model is saying institutions were not getting involved in this. Okay. It doesn't take that long. Again, by, you know, once we go into details, we'll help you along the way. And you'll get me helping you with that too as well. Okay. So anyways, airline stocks, cruise line stocks, oil stocks. I wish I could show you more examples, but I've run out of time. What I'm going to do is, again, the Right Side Report. Here is the website where you guys can go register. Okay. Again, part of what you'll get is not just the software. You'll get our advanced software, which is $299. You'll get the bonus report, which is the Right Side Report. This is where we list the up and coming path stocks every single week, every single week. Okay. If we find something new, we'll add it to it. If not, we'll just show you the same one. But then the beauty of this is once you find it, you also know how to manage these stocks every single week, every single day. If you choose to use a daily chart, if you choose to use a weekly chart, and honestly, if you choose to use a monthly chart, how to manage is what you should do every week, every day, every month along the way until it reaches its destination or until the model tells you something has gone wrong, you need to get out. Okay. And plus, I'm going to also give you a volatility video on the VIX that a lot of people are not aware of the patterns in the VIX that lets you know when volatility is over and the market is ready to take off. So unfortunately, I have run out of time. I really have so much that I would like to share with you guys, but we are going to be having a webinar tonight. Okay. So for those of you guys who sign up with us, you will come to this webinar. We go into details about the software every Monday night. We go into it. It's recorded. So even if you cannot make it, you get the recording of it. You have email to access us, to ask questions, and stuff like that. So by all means, please reach out to us. If you have any questions, email us at info@rightsidetrading. Otherwise, hopefully I can see you guys tonight. If not, maybe by next week when you guys sign up, we'll go from there. Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over. Thank you so much.